Hi there, and thanks for joining us. It is February at last, so you can join me in a little happy dance if you want. On this week's episode, the restaurants reopening for takeaway, the venues that have to stay closed, and the businesses finding new customers through clever use of social. I'm Jonathan Healy, and this is Red Business.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
Now, it's been really challenging for businesses as they've tried to come to terms with the new normal, which, if you are in hospitality, means you can't have anyone come in anymore. And it's been a little bit slower in getting businesses back doing takeout, but it is happening. And to tell us some of the businesses that are reopening this very week, Katie Mythen-Lynch, the editor of Yay Cork. Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi, Jonathan. How's it going?
I'm good. January was painfully long, wasn't it?
Oh, listen, I think we can all agree that that was the longest January on record. But listen, now we're into February at last. And like, even though we're still at level five, we're finally seeing some green shoots appear.
And I think
things are starting to open up a little, you know.
They are very much so. I have to say, I was around the city centre in the last couple of nights. And, you know, there's a little bit of life, not a huge amount. But there are five or six places that are reopening this week. And there's some great places on here that people might be able to get back to for a bit of takeaway. Who's opening and what are they doing?
Well, listen, this week there's loads of businesses firing up the grills and the ovens and launching new takeaway and delivery menus. So if any of them are within your 5 kilometre travel limit, like, now is a really good time to give them a bit of support and sort of treat yourself to a lovely lunch or dinner, especially if you're sick of cooking like I am. But first of all, Goldberg's down in Cork Docklands, they reopened yesterday for phone-in and click-and-collect orders. So they have a brand new menu, and they also do these incredible bread bowls, which are like hollowed out loaves of bread filled with things like seafood chowder and beef and Guinness stew. So they'll be open from Thursday to Sunday until 9 p.m. if you fancy trying one of them, and you should. So down in Middleton, if you live near, if you live in Middleton, JJ Coppinger's pub at 55 Main Street is now JJ's to go. And they're doing takeaway scones and coffee and soup and sandwiches from 10:30 to 5 p.m. daily. They actually do a really good toast special down there as well. Back in the city, Cafe Gusto has reopened on Washington Street after an extended Christmas break. And you can check out their menu on their website, and they're taking orders for delivery from 8 a.m. via Deliveroo.
Okay.
Now, this is one that will be very exciting for fans. Hillbilly's is back. So you can pick up your breast in a bun or your snack box with chips and gravy at their Mahon Point shopping centre location. And the Tuesday special is back too. I think that might be a 2-for-1. And there's even a bunless BLT. So if you're on a low-carb diet for February, you can still get your Hillbilly's without ruining all your good.
Well, I'm signed up for the bunless BLT. They were always open in the city centre, though. I think that the one on Grand Parade, that never closed. But the one in Mahon Point is reopening. So it is good. If you are in that general direction, you can get into Mahon Point and you can get your bunless BLT, if that's your wheeze.
Exactly. So for people living right in the centre of the city, the Old Town Whiskey Bar at the Bodega will be reopening their takeaway hatch on Corn Market Street, and that's starting on Wednesday, February 10th. So they'll be doing their lovely hot chocolates and takeaway food, and that'll be open 7 days a week. So that's actually very handy if you work in town as well and if you're still working in there.
Yeah, so I mean, there's lots of different options that are out there. I mean, you can only go to these places. Well, I suppose if you are travelling to collect food, you are allowed to do that, but you should really restrict it to your 5 kilometres. But there will be lots of people living within those catchment areas who will be delighted to have a little bit of distraction and somewhere to go.
Exactly. And you know what, like, if it's within your 5k and you can support a local business, then why not, you know? Oh, and last but not least, if you're looking for something really fancy, especially with Valentine's Day coming up, the Imperial Hotel is doing a takeaway every Friday and Saturday, and that's from 5 p.m. until 9 p.m. so you can collect your wines and beers there too. That's super handy. And they have 3 Valentine's takeaway boxes on offer, so you can get your order in now for those, so that nobody's disappointed.
Hang on, Katie. Can we not just not bother with the old Valentine's this year? I mean, we've got enough challenges in life without trying to come up with ingenious ways of entertaining our loved ones. Would we just not gloss over it and pretend it didn't happen?
Listen, you could, and it'll be at your peril. So best luck with that.
You see how we get on. Katie, it's been, look, for you guys in Yay Cork, you do your best to promote businesses and get information out there. It's been a challenging couple of months to try and be positive, because you guys always try to put best foot forward. Has it been hard during the pandemic to try and stay on the right side of happy?
you know what? It's been challenging, but like with, you know, with everyone else, like we're just kind of, we're ploughing on and we're doing the best we can. And we're lucky in that, like, you know, we can only write about all the great things that are happening in the city, and there's plenty of it going on, you know. There's been sort of some amazing moves pulled and stuff to keep businesses in operation, and there's been a lot of good news stories within all the crisis news, you know. So we're lucky in that, like, that's kind of the area we cover, and there's been plenty of it to keep us going.
Well, yaycork.ie is the website if you want to have a look at that. Katie Mythen-Lynch, editor there at Yay Cork, it's been a pleasure. And look, I'll give Valentine's one more go this year, but I'm not giving any guarantee that I'll enjoy it, all right?
Thanks, Jonathan. Have a great weekend.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.
Live music has been one of the biggest casualties of the economic challenge thrown up by COVID-19. And this week we had the sad news that the Kino on Washington Street, well, that's not going to reopen in its current form. Joe Kelly is a music promoter. He's the co-founder of The Good Room and Live at St. Luke's. Joe, it's a really challenging time for live music, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is, Jonathan, straight up. I mean, we're very lucky that, you know, the government, through Catherine Martin and her department, got involved in, you know, assisting. But I mean, it's a completely different emotion being there with the business closed down, knowing you've, you know, meeting with the revenue and all this ahead of you, and you're on your own. You feel completely naked. But at least we're here with people in theatre, live music, bars, you know, restaurants to a certain degree. But, you know, everyone's in it together. So, like, to be fair to the government and politicians, there's no playbook on what you do in a pandemic in the digital era. So, you know, I think, being honest with you, you got to take positives. For example, Victor, a friend of mine, and Maura, who are out in Watergrass Hill, if any of you get a chance to get out there sometime, Mahoney's in Watergrass Hill, like, they started doing neighbor food, which you're probably aware of, Jonathan.
Yeah, no, we've had them on the podcast, actually.
Oh, have you? Oh, great. And so they did that. Then they started a farm shop. Then they started doing takeaway. So what I'm saying is, to the best of your ability, what you can, in a positive way, use the time to say, what will be the changes? And both myself and my partner, Ed, when we were allowed to open in level 2 in the Kino with a capacity of 50, which we did 45, really, because we counted the staff. But we would do double shows. So it was like, okay, that works. But then on top of that, in all my career, and I'm kind of involved in running stuff, you know, at least 30 years in Cork, but I had never done table service with cocktails, which we started to do. So what we started to realize was that people really want to spend if it's quality, because realistically, as you get a little bit older and you have kids and yada, 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 some people don't have kids from their mid-20s up. But genuinely, I think it really comes into that thing of quality, whereby, you know, if something's good, you might have to pay a little extra, but you'll remember it rather than the, you know, humdrum of it's average.
Joe, I'd nearly sell part of my house to get a single night out right now. So when venues do reopen, there'll be no shortage of people going into them. But you don't, like everybody else, you don't have a time frame on when that might happen. And how is that impacting your business decision making? Have you just written it off at this point, knowing that it's going to be months before you're going to be able to reopen Live at St. Luke's?
Yeah. I mean, for example, the Kino, we had a short-term lease on and we just pulled out this week. I mean, our landlord, to be fair to Philip O'Connor, was exceptionally good and fair. But truthfully, you have to look at it and say, look, if we were handing the keys back in August, then we mightn't get open till June. You know, what's the point in paying 6 months rent to trade for 2 months? Doesn't add up. So that one was cut short. Secondly, I look at St. Luke's and say, realistically, I hope that maybe late autumn, you know what I mean? I'm hoping maybe can we get something going by the Jazz Festival, you know? But in saying all that, that relates back to the government, the HSE and the GPs rolling out the vaccine, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not negative by nature, but unfortunately sometimes bumps come in the road. So if that could be rolled out and it was all done by September, well, at least then you're in a good position. But realistically, if you were to plan, like, I pick up the Sunday papers and you see ads for concerts, you know, big concerts during the summer, and you're just looking at it going, that's not going to happen. As in, you really should just shift it. I mean, once Glastonbury came out and said they're not happening, that is the precedent. You know what I mean? So I know we'd say with Electric Picnic, what are they called? The people that run it with Sutton Republic, but you know, Festival Republic, but they came out, you know, and they were adamant that they were going to be going in September. And it was kind of like, I can't see that happening. Genuinely, I do not see any big festivals happening. It would not surprise me if, you know, stuff like outdoor smaller things was allowed to happen. You know, you see pictures from San Francisco, they've got a 2 meter square circle drawn on a grass thing, and you're 2 meters away. You know, I'm just saying the idea of, for there to be events, us the promoters, you know, allowing that the government let you do certain things, it's up to us to try to fashion together stuff that's, you know, good and positive, whatever. But really, yeah, if you're looking at properly making money in a business sense, which we're on the business show, you're kind of going, nah, realistically, you're talking 2022. I mean, this year is just, you know, it's a write-off, really.
Yeah. Is there a risk that the long-term damage could be significant, that if you effectively pause business for 2 years in your sector, it's going to be harder to start it up again, and that promoters like you are going to struggle maybe to get finance to do bigger events, and that musicians themselves, I mean, like, it's a very challenging time for those guys if they can't get out and perform.
Absolutely. I think with regard to musicians, I mean, that's been very hard. And you have the two sides, you know, because, you know, a lot of what we do is original music. We generally do 99.9% original music. But there's a huge populace of people out there that work in the wedding band industry, the cover industry, etc., etc. And their whole thing, the rug is pulled from under their feet. In saying that, anything to do with entertainment, you know, bars, restaurants, theatre, sports clubs, you know, soccer matches, whatever, GAA, everybody's in the same boat. So, no, absolutely, I think it will be difficult. But sadly, with stuff like this, you always get a bit of sorting the men from the boys anyway. Like, you know, there's a few businesses that I saw, or even English multiples you see pulling out, and you're going, they're, you know, probably using it vaguely as an excuse. Not to say that they hadn't been making money, but it's an easy jump out at that point. But, you know, truthfully, I do think that, I think things will come back. But I think what's very important at this time is that if, you know, we're speaking on Red FM here, but like, you know, I'm sure people around the world listen to it as well, but like Cork itself needs to embrace this and not use it as a negative, but a positive, because Cork is a brilliant city. It is so much going for it. I mean, you know, people maybe become with the 5K slightly aware of what's around them. I mean, even at the moment, personally, there before the last lockdown, you know, I just went out to Knockgraha, which is only 10 minutes out the road, and there was Sing Sing Prison. And, you know, so the thing is that within the city around us, there's loads of interesting stuff that we often don't get to visit. So, you know, I would encourage people to support their own, support local. And, you know, and as well, you know, if you're going to go for summer holidays this year, you probably mightn't be able to get out of Ireland or out of the country. But there is, you know, 31 other counties. And in saying that, even Cork County, from Youghal to, you know, God knows how far west you can go. But you know what I mean? It's a very big county and there's lots of beautiful towns and places to go. So,
I'm with you, and I'm planning on doing as much as I can during the summer when the time comes round. My final question to you, Joe, and this is only something I'd never given thought to, that you go to a live gig, you enjoy the live gig for what it's there, and that's the right way to enjoy it. Do you regret not videotaping more? Because it's only you only missed it when it was gone, and I'd love to even be able to watch a live gig or to see some of the more intimate stuff that would have been done over the years, even just to sit down with a can of beer and watch it on the telly.
We did a live stream on New Year's Eve. Now, the figures are incredible. There was 8,500 people or sorry, 8,500 screens watching and listening. On average, I would say there is at least two people on the screen, maybe three, you know. So to take your thing, the recording and all that, I just personally, I think it's great recordings and all that, but it's never the same. It's never. It's even the simple thing of if you go to the cinema and it's like scary and everyone goes, woo, together. Or if it's a funny film and everyone goes, ha, 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 together. It's that whole thing of as people, and we are sociable people, the Irish, it's like, and, you know, anywhere else. But, you know, it's actually just that enjoying stuff together.
Collective experience. Yeah. No, and it's true. And it's hard to replace that without being in the room with others, which is something that simply can't happen at the moment, which is the reality. Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I long for the days we get back to live at St. Luke's and to get in and enjoy a real concert. Even if I have to stand in a circle in my own in the middle, I'll happily go to it. Liveatstlukes.com is the website where you'll see the latest updates on it. But for now, Joe Kelly, music promoter, thank you so much for joining us, and the best of luck.
Red Business, Cork's exclusive business podcast.
One of the things we have noticed since COVID first struck was that businesses have become really good at marketing themselves online. And it's a bit hit and miss as to how well some do when it comes to social media. Some businesses still think an owl post here and there might do. The clever ones use it well. And they use it well thanks to my next guest, Marion Murphy, whose company is Flourish with socialmedia.ie. Marion, how are you?
I'm great, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good now, thank you. Marion, I suppose the experience I've had as a consumer is that a lot of businesses I only found out about through social media and gave them money as a result of something that I saw using an Instagram or a Twitter post.
Yeah.
It really has had traction in the last couple of months and has kept a lot of businesses afloat.
Oh, absolutely. It's become very, very important for businesses now. And I suppose the pandemic has probably forced a lot of businesses maybe onto social media that maybe wouldn't have otherwise considered it. But they can see the opportunities and the benefits from it now, you know. And I suppose it has been, I suppose, responsible for some businesses remaining open and being able to connect with their customers even when their maybe physical doors are shut, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it is an alien world to many still. They will be voyeurs, they will be consumers of social media, but they will not post.
Yeah.
That's not an option if you're in a challenging time and you can't open a shop or communicate using the methods you normally would do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I suppose, especially when the doors are shut on a retailer or maybe a restaurant, you know, it's such an important way to keep that relationship going while the business is closed, you know what I mean? And I suppose social media is all about sowing seeds, really, you know. It's keeping your name and your business in the mind of your consumer. And when the time is right that they're going to be you know, come and maybe come to your restaurant or come to your retail store. So you know, the social media element, I suppose, is becoming more and more important now at the moment until we kind of get out of this situation we're in.
Marion, give us a good example from your experience of a company that's done it well in the last couple of months.
So there's lots of companies that I see that are, you know, really kind of, I suppose, embracing, especially like the clothing stores. There's one, I actually lived in the UK for about 10 years, and there's one company, they're called The Dressing Room. They're a retailer of, you know, kind of high end fashion. So they've really kind of transformed their business online now, and they're, you know, talking about their new ranges coming in and posting on Instagram, and, you know, it's been really successful for them, you know. So, you know, keeping their imagery, you know, quite cool, and, you know, Instagram, I suppose it's all about the imagery, and they've done it really well.
Yeah, a lot of businesses are terrified that they might be seen as mafia influencers, or that somehow they're doing something that will be a little bit cringeworthy or lead to people talking about them in the wrong way. That fear is holding a lot back, isn't it?
the fear is absolutely huge. And I suppose that's, I suppose, one of the things that I feel that I'm, that's one of my, I suppose, my secret sauce in terms of the training I do, is that I can take that fear away. Because if you're new to social media, it is a very scary kind of a prospect of putting yourself out there. And what do you post? Like, you know, a business, they're like, what am I going to talk about? Do you know what I mean? And am I going to make a fool of myself? And, you know, there's all that kind of fear holding people back. And, you know, even I worked with a company that, you know, the lady who was a very successful business owner, she just said, I'm really scared. Like, this training session has brought me to a really fearful place that I'm going to have to do this, you know. And what I try to say to people is it's just a different form of communication, like, you know. And you're, you know, while you have your website, which is your, you know, you've such a kind of a, when you're putting a website together, you put so much work into it, but it kind of stays static. Whereas the social media side of it then is the kind of the dynamic presence that is changing all the time, you know?
Yeah, but do you have to act the idiot, or can you keep it more simple?
I mean, what I say is be authentic and be who you are, you know. Don't try to be someone else. And, you know, there can be funny things, you know. I post about the funny things myself, like the time that I, instead of making an omelette, I cracked the two eggs into the bin, you know, stuff like that. That just, it just makes you more human. And I suppose that's what people kind of, I suppose, engage with, is the human side of the business then, you know.
So what is the main advice you want to give to somebody right now who maybe knows they should be doing it but haven't done it yet? What can you and Flourish with Social Media do to help them?
Okay, so what I normally do is I have an initial consultation with the business and find out, you know, who their audience is, what their age profile is, you know, and I work, you know, I look at the data and what is the best platform for them. And it could be just Instagram, it could be LinkedIn. You know, I look at, you know, I what I don't want is people to feel that they have to be on all the platforms, because it's overwhelming. Do you know what I mean? So it's quite targeted. And then I will, you know, I can set up their social media accounts for them if they want. Some people like to do it themselves, you know, it's up to themselves there. Then we talk about what, you know, what do they want to achieve? What are their goals? So, you know, we try and be kind of specific around that, and kind of, you know, encourage them to review that on a regular basis. And then what I'll do is I'll come in and actually train them on how to use the platform. So, you know, really getting into the nuts and bolts of using it, and how to post, and say, you know, looking at Facebook groups and looking at LinkedIn groups, you know, looking at all the different options that they have available, or if they're maybe a business that want to set up an online event, you know. So like there is so much kind of different features on platforms to go through, you know.
Yeah, and as I said, it's a lot easier than people think, but if they don't do it, they're not going to attract the business. Flourishwithsocialmedia.ie is the website. Marion Murphy, it's been an absolute pleasure. We'll see you online, I presume. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. Take care.
My thanks, as always, to all of my guests. Don't forget, every episode is available to download right now from redextra.ie. Myra Hayes-Goff was the producer, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Red Business. All that's best about business in Cork.